Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, does your life have meaning? Do you know what the meaning of your daily living is? What is the significance of the things that you do from the time you wake up every morning until you fall asleep at night? What is the use of going through the routine and the struggles and the surprises of life day after day after day, and week after week, and year after year? Do you understand why you are doing what you are doing? This is a big problem for many people today. For many people, life is a high stress race that has no significant meaning. The question that Solomon asks in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 3, is important. It is important for us to consider. And so tonight, I direct your attention to that question. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? Solomon records some of the observations that he made. He tells us in verse 4, one generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. Man lives such a short life. Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses, the man of God, who lived longer than most people today live. But Moses said in Psalm 90, verse 10, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. No sooner have we achieved something, no sooner have we accomplished something or gained something by our labor, than we must leave it behind. That is true of individuals, it is true of families, and it is even true of nations. It is true of a whole generation of people. The generation that fought so hard in the Second World War is dying off. There are fewer and fewer of them still living here with us. The baby boomer generation is retiring and also dying. People pass from this life into eternity. They depart from this world. Their bodies go into the grave. Their souls either go to heaven to be with the Lord or to hell, where they are under the wrath and judgment of the Lord. And this happens continually ever since the fall of man into sin in the Garden of Eden. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 tells us, it is appointed for men once to die, and after this the judgment. The book of Genesis tells us in chapter 5 and again in chapter 11 that every person who was born lived so many years, begetting sons and daughters, and then died. And then those sons lived so many years, begetting other sons and daughters, and they died. And so we read in verse after verse, and he died, and he died, and he died. When you die, you leave behind everything that you have gained. Solomon also observed the beautiful and intricate and wonderful world that God created. The earth abides forever, but the world is constantly changing. There is constant repetition. The same things happen over and over again. Repetition can become tiring. Repetition can make us weary. The sun rises and it sets every day. That happens day after day, year after year, century after century, in the same way. Every day we observe the weather patterns and the storm fronts that come and pass on to some other place. We see how the winds blow one day from one direction and the other day from another direction. We see how the rain falls, and there are dry periods, there are wet periods. And Solomon tells us in verse 6, the wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. These things happen again and again, day after day, week after week, year after year, and it is also uncertain. Even with the technology and the ability that we have achieved today, we cannot be completely certain of how the weather will turn out. The rivers all run into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. The water goes back to the mountains from which they first ran into the rivers. There is a constant cycle that repeats again and again and again. And man's life is filled with labor. Labor leads to fatigue and to weariness. We see with our eyes, and yet every day we want to see something more. We hear so much with our ears, and yet there's always more to hear. And that which has been is what will be. There is really nothing new. It's all old. People do the same things over and over and over again. That which is done is what will be. There is nothing new under the sun. A young child is born. He's filled with hope and eagerness to learn and experience the world. And he does learn, and he grows up, and he makes some of the same mistakes that his fathers made as he grows in experience and in wisdom. And he marries, and he has a family, and the same process begins all over again. The vigor and the folly of youth gradually turn into the wisdom and maturity of age. The First World War was supposed to be the war to end all wars and make the world safe for democracy. But one war has continued to follow the other war right until the present day. World War II was going to remove evil from Europe and make the future so much more wonderful. But there's just as much fighting today as there was before the two world wars of the 20th century. We have not made the world any safer. In fact, the world is probably less safe today than it was a century ago. And that is what Solomon is talking about in verses 9 and 10. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. Man does not fundamentally change. What we see today is what people saw before us. And it is what people after us will see again. There were wars in ancient Egypt. There were wars in ancient Greece and Rome, in Mesopotamia, in all of the great civilizations and eras of history. There were wars among men. And there are wars today all over the world. There were homosexuals in the ancient world. And there are homosexuals today, and there will be homosexuals in the future. There are moral, upright people today, just as there were in ancient times, and just as there will also be in the future. Whatever you see in the world today is something that already has been for a long time, and it is also something that will yet be in the future. There is nothing new under the sun. The problem is that man so soon forgets history. Man learns so little, really. People forget what happened before. They can't even remember what happened in their own lifetime. They do not remember the former things, Solomon says. They do not learn from history. They do not learn from their fathers. They do not learn from those who have gone before. And they make the same mistakes. And they have to learn the same things all over again. That's what Solomon is saying in verse 11. This will continue because of who man is. People in the future will not remember the things that will come in the future. For we are all short-sighted. And that makes our lives all the more monotonous and all the more repetitive because we have to come up with the same things that people before us have already come up with. This problem affects all of life, every aspect of life. Solomon is consciously asking the question, what profit does a man have from all of his work, from all of his toil in this world under the sun, through all the years of his life? What does he gain? What is the point? Where does it lead? There are many people who are asking that same question today, some in their hearts, without even putting it into words. They don't even know what they're asking. But this is their question. Many people try to escape the haunting reality of that searching question. Why am I doing this? What is the point of it? Where am I going? People turn to all kinds of entertainment, to all kinds of toys, to all kinds of diversions, to escape the unnerving answer to these questions that constantly stare them in the face. There is no profit in life. There is no point to it. It is all vanity. It is meaningless. People turn to all kinds of diversions as substitutes for meaning. People bury themselves in alcohol or in drugs or in sex or in music or in movies or in some other thing to cover up their sense of emptiness, their sense of meaninglessness in their lives. If I did not have any more idea of the meaning of life than most people on the streets do, I would be restless. I would be frantically searching for something to mask the emptiness, to fill the void, to give meaning to a meaningless and purposeless life. And so I ask you again the question that Solomon asked. Does your life really have meaning? Do you see the meaning of life in this world? Do you see the meaning of your life in the world in which you live, the places where you work and where you go and what you do? What was Solomon's conclusion after searching for meaning in life? In verse 13, Solomon says, "And I set my heart to seek and search out wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven." This burdensome task God has given to the sons of men by which they may be exercised. "I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered." Solomon's conclusion after searching everything, searching high and low and looking in every place, overturning every stone in the world, looking for meaning, seeking purpose and significance in life. His conclusion is, there is no meaning under the sun. Man tries again and again to give meaning to his world, but man is not able to give meaning to his life. Man is not able to give meaning to his world. Man is not able to make straight what is crooked. Man cannot produce, he can't come up with what is missing, what is lacking. He cannot give meaning to life. Man cannot fundamentally change his life either. All the programs in the world will not end war. All of the organizations that man could devise will not end war. Nothing that man can come up with will end poverty. Nothing that man can come up with will end strife. Indeed, Solomon says that the more wisdom you have, the more grief you have. And the more education you get and the more knowledge you acquire, the more sorrow and pain you have. Solomon concludes that as long as you limit yourself to what is here in this world under the sun, there is no possibility that life will have any meaning for you. Our culture has reached that realization. People all over the Western world have concluded that there is no meaning to life. People do not know what life is all about. Life has no significance or little significance to many people. People believe that they are an accident. They came here by accident. People believe that their life is futile. It's worthless. Doesn't accomplish anything. They have no purpose. What am I supposed to do? What's my job? Professors in universities are teaching our young people that there are no answers to these questions. It's a mistake to think that we have the answers to the great questions of life. Why are we here? What are we doing? Where are we going? What is the meaning of life? All the philosophers of history have tried to come up with answers, but there are no answers. We don't have any answers. That's what's being taught to people today. If you leave God out, your life will not have any meaning. No matter where you search on this earth, you will not find meaning and significance and purpose to life because it is not there. There is no meaning to life under the sun. Many people are deceived to think that if they only had $1 million or maybe $1 billion, then life would be meaningful. Life would be significant. They could do so many things. They could accomplish something that would last, that would be meaningful, that would bring purpose and accomplishment and a sense of achievement to them. People think that if they only had this or if they only had that, if they were only married or if they were only single, if they only had done this, or if they only had made that decision, or if they only had not made that mistake, then their life would be exciting, it would be meaningful, it would be happy, and they would be content. They would have fulfillment. It's not true. It's not true. Solomon was very rich. Solomon had more than anyone could want. And yet he was searching for meaning in life. There have been many rich people in the history of the world, and some of the richest people have been the most discontent and the most unhappy. Solomon's conclusion is the only possible conclusion if you begin with naturalistic assumptions. Under the sun, without God, there is no meaning in life, and there never will be. And the reason is that when man starts with himself, he has cut out the God who gives meaning to all of his creation. The God who created the world is the one who gives meaning to the life that he gave, to the life that he created, to the life that he sustains, to the life that he directs by his word and spirit. Before man sinned, man understood the meaning of his life. Man lived and walked with God. Man submitted to the Lord. Man took out of God's revelation the purpose and meaning of his life, and he was happy and content to do what God created him to do, to glorify God, to have dominion over the earth, to be fruitful and multiply. Man submitted to the Lord's purposes for his life. He did not doubt, but trusted God and believed God's word. But when man sinned against God, God cursed man. God cursed the creation. Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verses 20 through 22, that the Lord has subjected the creation to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. That is, the creation was not subjected of its own will or willingly, but God subjected the creation to futility in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For Paul says, we know that the whole creation, everything that God has made, groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Even we, who are God's people, groan, Paul says. We groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption. That is the redemption of our body, the renewal of our body. God has made his creation subject to futility, to vanity. God has enslaved all of his creation to corruption, as a curse for the sin of man. And so this fallen world in which we live has total futility and frustration built into it. The farmer will never have a perfect crop. He'll never be able to get that perfect yield consistently year after year after year, because the world is cursed. And he will constantly throughout his career be frustrated. He'll constantly come up against futility. No matter how hard he tries to do everything just right, something will go wrong. A mother has futility and frustration built into her life. No matter how hard she works, no matter how hard she tries, always something goes wrong. There's always something more to do. There will never be a social security program that will take care of everyone and every problem, for frustration and futility, vanity, nothingness is built into our life. And so there will always be those who are poor, who have a hard time making ends meet, or those who have nothing. Man forgets that he has sinned against God. Man forgets that this creation is cursed. Man forgets that he has fallen. This world is not in a normal state. There are devastating storms that wreak havoc and bring destruction that man cannot prevent. We can do all kinds of things to try to control the rivers and even the melting waters and snow that come from the mountains, but still inevitably there is a flood. Because we live in a fallen world, a world that is not in a normal state. And because of that, there is a frustration and a futility and a vanity built into life so that everything we do is grasping for the wind. The purpose of life, the goal of life, is not to grasp for the wind, but it is to glorify God. It is to worship Him who made us. It is to know Him. It is to have eternal life. It is to submit ourselves to the meaning and purpose for which He made us and all things. It is to recognize the fallenness of this world and the fallen nature and condition in which we live. And it is to see the beauty and the restoration and the glory and the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ that makes all things new. Unless God were in Christ, recreating this world, delivering it from the bondage of corruption, delivering it from futility, there would be no meaning. There would be no point in life. Unless God in Jesus Christ came to us with salvation and delivered us from the futility of life, there would be no point to living. But there is a point to living because Christ is our hope. Christ is restoring us. Christ is recreating us in His image. And therefore we may have families, and we may work, and we may do so many things and enjoy the creation that God has made with hope and with meaning and with purpose and with significance. That's what Solomon learned. That's what Solomon learned. By looking for meaning in all places of the earth and realizing that the only meaning and purpose in life can come from God. And so Solomon says at the end of this book of Ecclesiastes, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. That's man's purpose. That's man's goal. That's why God made man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You for reminding us that our life does not consist in all of the things that we do. It does not consist in all of the repetition of our lives, but the purpose and meaning and significance of life is found in knowing You and in serving You and in submitting ourselves to You and in doing Your will here on earth as the angels do it in heaven. We pray, Father, that we might be all the more grateful for Your word and for the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that when we get up tomorrow morning and begin our work, we may have purpose and meaning. A purpose of glorifying Your great name. A purpose of seeing You recreate us and restore us to Your image. A purpose, Father, of accomplishing Your will here on earth. Of seeing Your kingdom prosper. Of seeing Your word go to the ends of the earth. Of growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Of seeing, Father, this world more and more ordered. And all the works of darkness cast down. We thank You that You are a great and sovereign King. That You subdue us to Yourself, that You rule and defend us, that You restrain and conquer all Yours and our enemies. Father, in that is meaning and purpose. We pray that we may be able to bring this meaning and purpose to those around us who do not know You, who do not live for You, that they too may have meaning and fulfillment in their lives. That they may live as unto You, We thank you, Father, that you have given us the answers to the great questions of life in your word, that we do not need to study Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and all of the other philosophers desperately searching for some kind of meaning, some kind of answer, some kind of purpose for all that man does. But you have taught us in your word so clearly, so plainly, what our purpose is in life. We pray, Father, that we may rejoice in it and that we may gladly serve you. Forgive our sins. Forgive the times when we have become frustrated with that futility which constantly faces us. May we, with patience and perseverance and with hope, expect that glorious day when you shall remove all frustration and all vanity, when all of the obstacles that make our life difficult, that cause us to toil so much harder and to redo what has already been done, when those things will all be removed, and when we will enter into the fullness of what you have planned and purposed for us. So, Father, may we run with patience and with endurance the race that you have set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. For without him, we surely are only running in circles. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.